So go to those arrays that we were looking at before we left, which were .NET ones. And I want you to pick the one that says test redim. It's the arrays from .NET, the ones that we were going through the last week.
By the way, Eric, that 5x is 250 this week.
I know. That's part of S7 Edge.
Did I?
You bought what?
S7 Edge.
I know.
I think it's going back, though.
I think I just loaded the wrong one. Because I don't see a redim here.
It's okay, it's technically Monday.
Yeah, right.
It was Monday for me. It feels like Monday.
I think I clicked on the wrong thing.
Yeah, I know, right? Was that crazy?
I know, the snow melted by 2 o'clock.
The most overhyped storm in the past decade.
Well. The poor weathermen were feeling very needy.
I was going to say stupid.
There's a needy storm.
They needed a storm.
I woke up hoping to put my Jeep in four-wheel drive, and nope. So blacktop.
Okay, let's try that one more time. The one I told you to open is test redim, and I opened the one right below it. So test redim is the one you're opening.
Test redim.
Huh?
Redim.
Yeah, test redim.
Test redim. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, it's towards the end.
It's in the one that we looked at last week.
The arrays.
The arrays, under array. I think I'm supposed to put something in a mount. So I did. We'll find out if I had to or not. But the cursor was sitting there and the box was sitting there, and I had actually looked at this for last week and forgot.
This looks very complicated.
Yeah, mainly because I was putting too many things in. Okay, so the first button that you clearly hit is Start Gather. These others are not clickable. So I'm going to, this is button Start Gather. So as soon as I click on that, it's going to ask me how many original entries do I want. So I'm going to say Start Gather, and it says how many original entries do you want, and I'll say 4. And it says okay, and so it says entries 4. And now, actually, I didn't have to put anything in the mount. I think this is where I have to put it in the mount. As I said, I forgot. So it now says gather the amount. Okay, so I'm going to make that three be the amount since I already put it in there. And I'm saying gather amount. And then after I gather the amount, I'm going to say clear. And that clears out amount. Okay. And then I am going to put five and click on gather amount. And then clear. And then I'll put 12, gather amount, clear. And then I'll put 17, gather amount, clear. And now it's all done because I originally said I wanted four. Okay? So now let's look at what it did there. It said redim an array. So I had an array set up above called a cum array, but I didn't put any number in it. I didn't give it any size. Now I have asked for a size or how many entries I want, and I put in four. Okay, so I put in four. So then I said, all right, now redimension this array to have 4 minus 1, or 3, as the maximum, which means it will have 0, 1, 2, and 3. So it's setting up the array to hold those 4 numbers. I told it I was going to type in 4 numbers, and so it redimmed the array to hold 4 numbers. And the 4 numbers are going to be 0, 1, 2, and 3. Okay? So the 3 went into 0, index 0. The 5 went into index 1. The 12 went into index 2. And the 17 went into index 3. Okay? So what I did here is I entered the 4. I redimmed that array to have a 3 as its max. And then I said, okay, in my list original box over there, I'm going to add a line that says entries, and I'm going to concatenate it with the length. Okay, the length of the array. And the length of the array is 4 because it's going 0, 1, 2, 3. So it puts out the 4. Now, obviously, I could have concatenated that with work how many minus 1, but I wanted to show you that a cum array had a length of 4. And I converted that to string because it is happiest when I concatenate like types. Sometimes it seems to be able to resolve it itself, but lots of times you'll get an error message if you're not concatenating like types. And so by converting this, taking this number, which was a length, and converting it to a string, and concatenating it with a string that contains the word entries, I've got string-to-string concatenation. And then I made the button gather amount enabled equals true, the button clear equal true, and the start gather equal to false. And I put the focus in text amount, which means I put the cursor there, because that's where I wanted them to enter the amount. Okay.
So the change where the button is anonymized, but down enabled equal true or false.
Say that again.
So if we want to make a button useless, we just put .enable
equals true or enabled equals false. And in fact, you want to do that. I'm not good about it because it takes time. But you want to do that as one of your finished products. You may not want to do it all the time at the beginning, but before you say this is ready to go, because it keeps the user from messing things up. If they can't click on any button that's not appropriate for them to click on, it keeps them a little more under control. And your main goal is to have the user under control and also getting the data that they need. But in lots of ways, it's keeping the user under control.
Give them too much control, it can be a bad thing.
That's right. You know, especially if they're not using this on a regular basis. People, you know yourself, when you go to a site and you don't know what you're supposed to do, you start clicking on what looks like it might work. And that's not what you want your user to do. So that was the button start gather. Now the button gather amount is where they are putting it in a text amount. So I decided I wanted integers, so I converted text amount dot text to an integer and put it in a cum array modified by count. Okay. So the first time count was started at zero, and I have got it put in there, and then I added one to count, so that I'm keeping track, and count is defined up in the global area so that it will keep track for me. Okay, so I add it to, I typed in a 3, I clicked gather amount, it took and put it into the array, and then it wrote the 3 up here, this line right here is writing the 3, and then I added one to count 1, and I enabled gather amount because I want to gather it some more. Or I disabled, I'm sorry, because I want to gather some more, but I want them to be able to click on it. So again, if we run this, and I think it kind of shows what's happening when you run it. Okay, so I start out here, and this is the way it's come into me. And the properties are set. You can set these show and don't show on the properties. And so my original stuff is set on the properties. And then I change it when I go in, but you can set these on the properties. So the only thing I can really do on this whole sheet at this point is I guess I can add numbers into a couple of places, but the big thing I can do is start gather. And in fact, even if I add a number in there, it doesn't make any difference, because it's not gonna, it's gonna give me a chance to fix it. So I'm clicking on start gather, and it comes up with that, and I say I wanna do 4 things. And then I click on okay. Okay, now it has turned on gather amount and it's turned on clear. So I am putting a number in here in amount, and then I'm clicking on gather amount. Okay, and as soon as I put the number there and click on it, it set that to false. Okay, so I can't do it again. And I could have cleared out the amount too. I just didn't, but thinking about it, it probably would have been a good idea to clear out the amount too. Yep. And then on the clear, I am clearing, and when I clear it out, then I bring gather amount back up. So I'm now saying 17, gather amount, clear, 24, gather amount, clear, 36, gather amount, clear, and now it's done, so the continue button comes up. Okay. So what I've got down here in the clear is I am checking. And if the count tells me that I am done, okay, then I will make the clear go away and I will make the continue true. Okay, if I'm still gathering amounts, I make the gather button true and I put the focus into text amount. But the big thing that I did here, and the reason that we did this, is to show the redim. So it's now been redimmed based on how many things I said I wanted to be able to put in that array. Okay? So it's been redimmed for that. Okay, so now I come down to the clear. The continue. So let's make it more the continue. So the continue button has now been activated. And if you look at the continue, the first thing it's going to ask is how many more do you want to add? Okay, you've already got a bunch of things in the array. How many more do you want to add? Okay, so I'm going to click on continue. And it says, how many more do you want to add? I'm going to say 3. Okay. And then I click on OK. And it now tells me entries is up to 7. Because I already had 4. I want to add 3 more. And notice how it does that. It says redim preserve. So I've got there redim preserve. Now what preserve means is keep what is already in the array, add on to the end. If I just say redim, it starts it over again. Okay, redim means redefine, redimension rather, redimension it. So if I put in redimension as 3, it would reset the thing at 3. When I do reset preserve, it says, okay, there's already 4 there, 3 more is 7. And it goes with the 7. So I said, redim preserve, and then I told it what I wanted it to be. So I took the original redim had work how many minus 1. And I now added that work more in, which I just put the 3. So this was, I put in 4 minus 1 is 3, plus 3 is 6, which is 7 things from 0 to 6. Yes, no, maybe? Okay, then on the next line I said, okay, add a line and have the accumulator array length. And that's where the 7 came from. Because I already had 4 things in there, I'm now adding 3 more with the preserve, and that's where the 7 is. Okay, so I now have the 7. And I specifically did the array length to show you. I could have put all that in there and all that stuff. Actually, the plus 1 would go away, the minus 1 would go away. I could have said work how many plus work more. But I just wanted length. Okay. So I redim preserved, I wrote that line out, and then I activated continue gather and clear second. Okay. So I'm going to put in here 10, and I continued the gather, and 20. Whoops, I want a clear second. Then I put in the 20. Continue gather, clear second, put in the 30, continue gather, clear second. Okay, so I've now added those 3 things to the array. So the array actually now has in it those 4 numbers plus these 3 numbers. So the last thing I'm going to do is show content, and I'm going to run through the entire array. Okay, and I'm going to show what's in the array. So I click on show content of array, and it's showing the 7 things. And it used a for loop to do that, and the for loop said, do it the length of the array minus 1. Okay, because the length is in numbers that don't include 0. So the length is 7. Minus 1, because I want to go from 0 to 6. And every time through the for loop, I simply write the next number in the array out on the in the list box. And I is going to go from 0 to 6, So I write out all seven things. Make sense? So that's redim and redim preserve, yeah?
At the top, it says inherit system.windows.form.
That's because these were written in a previous version.
Oh, okay.
So all the ones that I wrote back in .NET, it throws that in and throws in some code that basically converts it to the to the current version. Questions?
Did you do that for the amount?
Say that again?
Did you do that for the amount?
With the amount? The amount is the number that I type in right before I click.
I just put 12. Start gather.
No, start gather first. Although the 12 wouldn't do any harm. The start gather tells you how many you want to do. Okay, so.
Sorry, my Visual Basic is slowing down.
Don't they all? Unfortunately, this room is slow. Okay.
You should be first in line.
I'm first in line to getting the room that has the smart board in a convenient spot. I like the smart board in the computer like this, as opposed to some of the other setups. No. Some of the other setups are not good. And I also don't like that room in there where people sit like that.
I
like this room, except for the slowness.
And it was tough because you're like this.
No, exactly. And then flipping back to the computer and,
Yeah, because you're computer.
So I like the layout of this room.
You're actually trying to program without looking at your keyboard. It's
without even looking at the
screen. It teaches you how to type those.
Okay, so you asked the question. Wait a minute. If I run this, okay, so right there, if I put a number in here, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. But I don't really have to put a number in there yet. I click on Start Gather, and it says, how many do you want to enter? So let's say 2. And then I click on OK. And I enter 100 gather amount, and then clear it, and then 200 gather amount clear, and it's all done.
Okay.
And then I come down here and say continue. How many more do you want to enter? I want to enter 2 more, so I'll put in 300. And then continue gather. And I crashed because I apparently put the 300 in the wrong place. And every time you crash like that, keep in mind that that means that you're not checking something. And I purposely don't check everything that I would check in the real world because I don't want to get the programs incredibly long, and they're going to become incredibly long if I do. But clearly, I forgot to put the number in there, and when it's saying continue with the gather down here, it is looking for a number, and it can't handle it because I have not put anything in there. So you need to have checks to make sure the entry is there, and to make sure the entry is greater than 0, and all of those kinds of checks should be in the program. But as I said, I do them occasionally, but if I did them every time I should do them, my programs would be triple the length. Questions? Okay. So now I want to open the projects that are actually in Chapter 8, and I think Intro Array is the first one. So there are three programs back outside under Chapter 8.
Okay.
right here, examples. And there are under Chapter 8 three examples. And those are the ones I want to look at now. Then number Chapter 7 has two examples on them. And I don't think we're going to get to them today. If we do, we do. But I really want you to look those over. Just because they're the kind of thing that if you play with them, they make more sense. So go back to Chapter 7 in the next few days and take a look at those examples. And we may get a chance to start them today. Okay, so intro array is the first one. So I'm going to go to intro array and do this. Only I didn't close the other one. Folder? Pardon me?
This in that same arrays folder?
No.
This is a new one?
It's in the stuff that was written for 2012. So go back out, click on examples 2012, 2010, and go to arrays chapter 8, and the intro, calc, and more.
All three.
Yep. Now, what I did with these, and that's why it says Chapter 8, is these are examples that go with what was covered in Chapter 8. Okay? In case that wasn't clear. These are the examples that go with what's covered in Chapter 8. And how many of you are reading the textbook?
I like a reference.
I like it as a reference, too.
How do I do that?
Let's
go to the index, look it up.
Yeah. Okay. So intro array is what we are looking at now. Something that is new and alien to you.
Yes.
Okay. And what I did in doing these is I basically picked things that the book was talking about and said, okay, I'm going to throw them into the example, whether they make a lot of sense or not, just to show how they're used. So that first form intro array load is one of those things. Okay. I also have here a language module. So here's where I have set up some arrays. So I have a subscript, which is initial upper sub, which is an integer of 6. I have an array language, which is set to that initial upper sub, so it's set to 6. And I have, and I'm going to put these into a notepad, so that if we want to look at them, they're easily available. And that, and why am I feeling congested?
That time of year.
No. That grandchild.
Everybody's sick these days.
Yeah, no, it really is. Okay, so I now have an array also set up here where I put in the values and did it a little differently. I know we did one of those in the .NET one. So I have the array and it figures out the length because I put the values in there. And I've got what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So I've got 7 things there. Okay. So those are the arrays that I've got set up. So now if I go back to my design, come on, we can do it. Okay. So, I've said here, enter the number of languages. So I will pick a number. But notice before I even do anything that the load happened. Okay? So the load went in. And it said, for initial count equal to zero, up to INT upper sub, which I defined as six, set everything empty. So I just, and again, this isn't needed there, I don't think in any place, but I did this just because it was in the book. Okay, so that if I want to clean out an array and make sure all the spots are empty, I can just say string empty and go through one after another. And so I went through all of the spots in the array and I made all of them empty. Okay, so it's, I can clear out data that way, basically, if I'd had data in there. Okay, so initial count will go from 0 to 6. And I will take and go through each one of them, 0 to 6, and set them in full to empty. Okay? So, now I'm going to say enter the number of languages, and I'm picking 3. And I want to say fill the language array. So enter a language that you know. Visual Basic. Okay. PHP. JavaScript. Okay. So those have now been put into the array. Okay. Because I clicked on the fill array and the fill array came down here and it put them in. Now, this one, I did do an if statement on. Okay, and if set, if the number is less than or equal to the upper sub plus 1, then it won't work. Number and it is outside the array. And then I loop through taking in what I want to take in. And I took in those 3 languages. So if the number I entered is okay for the array, then that's fine. But if I put in that I wanted to put in 20, and I've got the array set up at 7 to have 7 slots, then it's not going to work. And so that's what that if statement is doing for me. And then I said, okay, now see the languages. And if I click on it, it now is putting those languages into that box. Okay, so they were in the array. Now C languages is putting them in the box. So it's going through the array that I put them in, and now it is showing them in the box. Then if I click on some languages taught at BCC, it comes back and tells me the max 7 because I asked it to. And then it shows me the 7 languages that I listed in that other array. Those are the 7 languages that I listed in this array. Okay. So again, all I'm doing is playing around with the arrays. So all this is doing is going through this array that has the data in it, and one at a time is pulling them out. So that's all it's doing. And then I said, okay, just in case that isn't enough, we'll go down and do it with the 4 each. So I can do it with my own 4 statement, which I did up here, where I said go from 0 to, and I put in the number minus 1. Or I can do it, wait a minute, okay, there's the 0. I don't know which one of them is which. This is the BCC, okay? or I can do the four each. And the four each basically goes through the array. And when you're using the for each, the array, it says as string in the array language. And then it says variable for each. So each one is individually in variable for each. Okay? So as it goes through for each, it is going through the array. Okay? And it's going through the array. And each thing, as it hits it, is in variable for each. So I can add variable for each. So each one, as it hits it. Okay. Now compare that with the line above where I wrote my own for statement. When I wrote my own for statement, I said go from 0 to length minus 1. And then I said, okay, each time I add something, it's got to have that pointer in it. It's got to have the language count in it. Language count is going from 0 to 6. It's got to use language count as a pointer to tell me which slot to put it in. But with the for each, it knows it should go through the entire thing. It should stop when there's nothing anymore, nothing there. And it should handle it as if it is adding one to a counter. So the difference between those is on the first one, I'm controlling it, so I need to use an index. But when I use the for each, it sets up stuff behind the background, in the background, and it just handles each one individually as it goes through. Okay? So if you indeed just want to go through something and show everything in the array, for each is a wonderful thing. If you want to get involved and maybe have an if statement inside the loop and do some more checking and things like that, you may find that you want to control it. And with the for loop, you're in control. With the for each, you're following the rules, okay, of the way it handles things. Okay. So now, the next thing says, is the language taught at BCC? I'll put in Java. Only that's where I was supposed to put it in. Whoops. There. And it comes back with a yes. So I really wasn't supposed to enter it in. And that's how, if you don't want people doing what I did, which is I forgot and went ahead and entered it in, then you make this so that it is read-only. I mean, you make it so that they can't enter something in. You can put it in the code, but they can't enter it in. Because I left it open, and therefore I could enter it in. Now, it didn't do any harm. It just ignored what I put in there. Because I never have any check to check and see what was put in there. I just have a check to say yes. Okay. So on this one, I use the for each again, and I said for each language check as a string in the list for each items. If the WK language question, which is the language I typed in is Java, equals the current one, then type yes. Okay? Now, if I want, the problem here is, one of these I need to have. So if I say, is language taught at BCC, this is where I'm supposed to enter it. And let's say I say, whatever. And I click OK, and it says it's looking at whatever simply because I put that in. And now there's nothing, nothing comes up. So I didn't put a no in there. So my alternative is after the loop is all done, I could check textyes.txt and see if it's a yes. And if it is, I'm happy. If not, I could write no there. Okay? But right now, I'm leaving it blank if it doesn't find a match. Okay, so I'm leaving it blank when it doesn't find a match. If you don't like that, you can put in another if statement. Now, down below, I did it my way. And so I say search the languages, and if I put in whatever there and say okay. Well, I actually went through this whole thing and watched the subscript go. I put the no in. And the place that I put the no in was down here, where I said if the found equals yes, then put the text, make the text yes, else make the text no. And I could have put an if statement here after the for loop and said if text yes.text equals yes, do nothing, else put in a no. Or actually asked if it's not equal to yes would probably be the better way of doing it. If it's not equal to yes, put in a no.
So what's next used for?
Next just goes with the for loop.
Oh.
It's the, you know how C has curly braces and JavaScript has curly braces? Visual Basic has words. So the end of if is end if. And the end of for is next. And that just tells it that everything within the for and the next is what should be executed each pass through the loop. So it's got to have something to stop. I happen to like words. There are other people that say, no, they want curly braces. Okay?
Every language is like that.
No, about every C-based language. I think that's where it started, with C.
Everything started with C.
Everything started. Although Pascal, I think, I don't know. You can ask Igor, who's the oldest. But I think it started with C. And Java, JavaScript, all that. Probably. Now, you know, my first language was COBOL. And COBOL uses the word type things. It's got that more, the thing. I mean, the advertisement for COBOL was that it was so English-like that anybody could read it, and it was right. It was self-documenting. The problem was it was also very wordy to write. So you ended up writing a lot. But yes, so you need something to tell it where the loop ends. And down here, for example, I have a do while loop, and the word loop is at the bottom. So the word, that's just basically showing the code that is being executed within the loop, every pass in the loop. And you need a word since you don't have curly braces. Or otherwise, if you didn't have that word, it would assume that all of this stuff down here was part of the loop. You know, where is my loop ended before I got there? Yes, no? Make sense?
It makes
sense. Okay. So on my search on my own...
It's like a story.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a story.
What's like a story?
It's code.
So you're a C fan. No, that's fine. PHP uses curly braces too.
Everybody does.
You live in a black and white world. Any maybes in your world? Okay, so in the one below where I'm controlling the loop, All those pop-ups that I'm getting are because I just threw in some message boxes here so that I can watch it go through. Okay, so the message boxes are just so I can watch the index, which I called work count, and I can just see it going through. Okay, so inside the loop, and the loop is going to continue until one of two conditions. What are the two conditions?
It's found the language or it's not.
It finds it or doesn't find it, and what's the other condition?
No.
The length. So you're looking at the do while, and it's saying do while work count is less than array length. Okay? So when it hits array length, that means it's checked everything, right? And so at that point, it's going to get out. Okay, so keep doing it while it's less than array length and it's not found.
Can you put that condition into parentheses?
You can. Don't need to, but you can.
I like that. I like the closeness.
Yeah, no, I mean, in a lot of your favorite languages with curly braces, they also want that stuff in parentheses. And no, it wouldn't do any harm. Now, how could this have been written if it was do until instead of do while?
You would just put it at the end.
So do until what?
Do until
work count is a
work count equals array length.
Okay.
Greater
than equal. Yeah, right. Probably greater. Yeah. And then what would you write next?
And
if
L
equals yes.
Yeah. And if yeah.
Wait. Back up. You said the word and.
Yeah.
Or.
Yeah.
Or.
Right. Because this is telling me do while, and this is telling me what keeps it in. Do until is telling me what gets it out. And it gets out if it's bigger or it's found.
Well, you could do it. It's just more...
No.
No, it would still go all the way through.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because I'm got in it. You've got to have both the array lengths that get you out and found. If you say and found, it's do until it's found, it's got to be found. Because if I said do this check on the count, and it's got to be equal to found or equal to yes, indicator found has to be equal to yes, then if it's not found, we have a problem. Because you're going to keep doing it until it's found. So it's got to be in the law.
It's like that printing paper story.
Yes. Yes.
No, that's her story.
I just forgot to... one of my first programming jobs, I... actually, it's not exactly like this. I forgot to add to a counter. And so it went through the loop, and the loop was until whatever. And I never added to the counter... And so I never read a new record, because I think I was reading a new record or something. I don't remember. But anyway, not adding to the counter got me in trouble. And, you know, somebody came out of the print shop back then with this mound of paper, and everything had exactly the same person on it. I was doing mailing labels. So everybody had this first person in the files label. And it went on for, you know, 1,000 pages or whatever. And the guy said, do you really want this many of that?
Do until no paper.
That's right. Well, that's what it really was to do until no paper. Because that's when he caught it, was when the paper ran out. And he went in and he looked at the job and saw that I had a mound this big, all saying exactly the same thing.
So you didn't answer the count?
Huh? I didn't add to the count.
It never reached.
Or something. I mean, I never read a second record.
Oh.
And so I never got through the file.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know whether it was a count. I don't remember now. Or whether I just had the initializing read and didn't have other reads in there. but I did something stupid such that record one got processed 1,000 times and it never moved on to record two.
You must have upset a lot of tree huggers.
Yeah, there weren't as many back then. And now you don't tend to print on paper. Well, you still print on paper sometimes because people do keep paper. That's right.
That's the equivalency of a million emails.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No. You know, you sit there correcting, and then all of a sudden you say, ooh, I just got below, and 20 come in, like that. Yeah, no, paper out would be a good thing for, as opposed to salaried. Okay, do we have anything else here? Anything anybody doesn't get? Okay. The next one. Close this time, I'll actually close. I think this one is calc, which is fairly straightforward, as I recall.
So it was calc and the gray folder?
Yep.
Now, in Visual Basic, is it common for, in an average Visual Basic program, to be multiple module files?
Yes. Mainly because you tend to make module files of anything that's being used by multiple programs. And so if you have stuff that's going to be used in another program, you make it a module, huh? Yeah. Then you make it a module, and then you can just bring it over and use that module. It's in the library, and you can just go bring it over. Actually, we will look at that, the bringing it over. Okay, so now I've set up an array called dim number array 5 as single, and I've got 5 numbers in there. So I said show array, and it now is showing me the array. So show array just did the for each step through the array. Okay. And as I said, the thing about for each is you're not really using the index. The index is there behind the scenes, but it is saying for each thing in the number array, the current one will be called showNum, and I'm going to put showNum in the box. So it's keeping track in its own way, but you're not really writing anything about the index. When I set up the array, I have the index, but here I don't. Okay, then I said show the total, so it went through and it added. And that was, we'll take its word for it, the total. Okay. And N2 is a formatting, and I can't remember what that stands for. You can look it up if you want to. But it doesn't have a dollar sign in it, so it's obviously a decimal. And I'm guessing that N2 is 2 decimal places. Okay. But basically, it is using a particular formatting, and I never remember what those codes stand for. And then on the next one, I did an average, so I've now got an average. Then I did highest and I did lowest. And the big thing with highest and lowest is I have a check, and the check ends up using the index. Okay? So I'm saying for count equals 0 to that, if number A modified by the index is greater than work high. Work high starts at zero. So the first time through, whatever it is going to be greater than work high, and so the 1234 will be put into work high. I really should have made these array out of sync, out of order. Would have been a smarter thing to do. But it really does work, even if they're out of order, because, okay, let's make it out of order. Okay, so we'll make this one 03, and we'll make that one 04, and we'll make this one 15, and we'll make this one 16, and we'll make this one 07. So now they're at least out of order. And it's interesting how it takes the zero away. Doesn't like it. So now if I do this, come on. Okay, so there's my array now. And show the total, show the average, highest. It indeed found the 1678. And lowest, it indeed found the 345. Okay, so what I do there, again, with highest and lowest, it's the same thing. As I say, the work high is a work area, it's going to start out at zero. If the one I'm looking at right now is greater than work high, then put it into work high. If not, do nothing. So the first time, we're going to end up with 1234 in there. The next time, 345 is not bigger, so it doesn't change. 456 is not bigger, so it doesn't change. 1567 is bigger, so high will change. 1678 is bigger, so high will change. 789 is not bigger, so it doesn't change. And so I end up with 1678 being inside high, and the low one works exactly the same, except that it tests for less than. And so 345 ends up in lowest. Yes, no, maybe?
But the array always starts at zero, right?
Yes. Although I have a choice. If I didn't want to start at zero, when I'm in control, I can actually use the four and start it at one. And I can automatically up at the top put a zero in the top.
You did that for the low one.
Huh?
You did that for low.
Did I?
Yeah.
Okay.
Four count equals one.
Okay, yeah. I didn't even notice that I'd done that. Wasn't I smart? Okay. What kind of equals one? Okay. Okay, and the next one. Next one is more arrays. Okay, one of the things that I can do here is the sort. So there it is, and I can sort a group of numbers.
The array sort, right?
Yes. I've got Okay, I set up three arrays here. Two of them are parallel arrays. The number array and the word array are parallel. So that 0, 120 goes with programming logic, 121 operating, and so forth. So those are parallel. The third array that I set up was just a series of numbers. First, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth. And what I wanted to do was sort those numbers. Okay. So I can write my own sort, which we looked at last week, or I can let VB do it for me. In which case, I just say array sort. What do you want to sort? I want to sort the two sort array. And then I do a for loop to show the results. So it started them alphabetically, and eighth becomes the first one, and third becomes the last one. So it sorted them alphabetically, put them in order. And then the for loop is simply writing them out. And obviously, I could have used a for each. But the for loop is simply writing them out. So, that is anything in an array can be sorted. Okay, using an array sort. And so I've sorted the content of the array.
And it puts them alphabetical?
Yep. Well, the sort puts them alphabetical, yes. And I'm trying to remember. There is a way, and I'm not remembering to get it to go reverse descending. But I don't remember the clause you stick in. The book probably tells you. Okay, but you can get it to go in descending order.
I have a sneaking suspicion that Thursday Eve wasn't go over communicating vectors.
Okay.
But, you know, sorting them. But every time I learn something in here, same thing in there.
Well, that's good.
It is good. It's less confusing for me.
No, reinforcement. And then I've got the search here of end of the course number and put out the word. So if I say search, and I'm looking for a match, so if I click on search, it says end of the course number, and so I'll put in 156 and say OK, and it comes back with Visual Basic. Okay. So the search is based on looking to see if the number I put in is equal to the number in that first array. And if I find a match, then I take the word that that number points to, because these are parallel arrays. And we looked at parallel arrays in other examples. And this has redim preserve down at the bottom, where I can go ahead and add a course. So it says add a course, and it says enter the course number, and I'm going to add in C, no, there's just numbers, 155, and that is C++, and it has now added that in. Okay, so it added in the course. But I did a redim preserve. And so I started out and I said, whatever course count is now, add one to it. And then redim preserve up to that point. So I basically made the array one bigger. And then I said, okay, now put the input number into num array modified by course count. And put the input word into word array modified by course count. And then I cleared it out and wrote the contents of the array. So that's another redim preserve has come up. And again, if I didn't have the word preserve there, it would have not kept the stuff that was originally in the array. would start fresh. And there's times for both of those. Okay.
So you want to preserve it anytime you want to keep your array.
When you want to keep what's already there, you're preserving it. And it's kind of nice. It's a good word for it. You know, preserve what's in it and now add to it. And then if I want to get in an order, I can do a sort on it after I've added. Which is why it's interesting, because if I sorted on this, I would be sorting on the numbers, obviously not the words, and then I would have to make sure to have some code that I was getting the right words. If I had written these instead of writing them as parallel arrays, if I had done the 120 programming logic, 121 operating systems, then I could sort on the first substring, the first three characters, and the name was already there, would go with it.
Yeah,
I mean, I could sort, I'm sort on the whole thing and the name would go with it, sorry. I didn't sort it. I'm just saying you could.
But on this, you don't have it, you don't have it sorted to...
No, it just added it at the bottom. So if I cared about the mean order, I'd have to do a sort.
You can sort by either the number or the...
Well, if I sort by the number, then I notice, okay, that's actually something we may get a chance to look at next time. But if I sort on the number, then the names are going to get messed up. Because let's say the numbers weren't in order. And 155 wasn't. And I've added 155 and it went in as the fifth thing in both of them. So the way I've added it, the 155 and the number is going to be one, is going to be num array 5. And C++ is going to be word array 5. Okay. So if I sort them, the 155 will come in right before the 156. But it won't change the order of the words. So I've got to know what the words were in the past in order to be able to do it. It's actually trickier than it sounds. I'll try to remember to actually write it out for you. But the easy way to do it is to put the name right here.
Do a pointer?
No, not even do a pointer, just do it. I did it in one of the exam, one of the soup examples, where I had the soup number and the soup name, soup number, soup name, soup number, soup name. And then you can sort based on the three characters, but the name is going to be carried with it when it sorts. Let me, given the time, do you want to stop debugging? Sure. File, open project. Soup. Parallel, search parallel. Substring, I think that's it. Yeah. Okay. So on this one, I carried the number and the name. Now here's where I was carrying in a string and that leading zero was important because the three alone would not work because I'd end up getting three S the way I did it because I was taking the first two characters to sort on, or to search on actually. I didn't do a sort here. But I could have done a sort here. So what I've got is I've got those names like that. Okay, so when I did the search, I came down here and said substring 0 comma 2, which means start with 0 and take two characters. So that was a search. Well, if I was doing a sort, I'd want to sort on that. Sort the field, but basically on that. And then when I came to writing it out, I said substitute on, so write out the name. So if I carry the number and the name together, well, I'm doing really well with these recordings. One is working, one is giving out, they're time to be changed. Yours got carried. Yours is on that one. The previous says classes is on that one. That's why I have two recorders. So anyway, I will try to get that written tonight or tomorrow. And then I can show it to you on Thursday. All right, because it is now that time.